I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie.
And during our marriage, we have dealt with an electrocution, a brain tumor, brain surgery.
Then doctors telling us that children were not in our future, followed by miscarriage, and then Kevin's cancer diagnosis.
However, today, we live a life completely healed and restored with three healthy children who doctors said were not possible. And we're here to tell stories that inspire, give hope, and brighten your day. Welcome to...
Tell Us a Good Story.
This episode is being presented to you by Storyside Church, where your story matters. At Storyside Church, they believe God always writes a good story.
You can join them for church online each Sunday morning on their Facebook page or watch their entire library of prior services on their YouTube channel, Storyside Church.
All right, friends, before we get to this conversation with Coach Drew, let's take a moment to tell you a little bit more about him and give you some context about this interview.
Okay, you guys. So, first of all, we had a deadline. I want to say they gave us 30 minutes to talk
max.
To him. But then he comes on. He might have been like a minute or two late. No big deal. But then he comes on. And right before he comes on, I think one of his like assistants or whatever is like...
Assistant athletic director.
Yeah. He was like, hey, just FYI, we really need this to be over at this time because he has another meeting with someone. And we're like, oh, no problem. You know, we're going to be super cool about this. So internally, you guys, I'm freaking out. And I think I'm hitting your knee the entire time. I'm freaking out because I'm like, oh my gosh, are we going to have enough time to talk to him? I was freaking out, babe.
Yes, you were. But first off, how surprised were we that he actually said yes to us?
So surprised because he doesn't do podcast interviews.
We have a friend, a mutual friend.
Yes.
That is very close friends with Coach Drew. And he let us know Coach Drew does not do podcast interviews. So
yeah.
He wanted to give us that ahead of time, like, hey, he doesn't do this.
So we were so super excited about
it. But Steph, after meeting Coach Drew, if you were a high school basketball recruit, wouldn't you want to play for that guy?
I want all three of my kids to play for him. He does not coach girls sports, but I still want the girls to play for him because this man is probably one of the most amazing coaches I've ever encountered.
Oh, 100%.
His love for the sport, his love for his players, his love for the school, his love for the Lord. Like, it's amazing.
So the other thing I want to point out is, as you will hear, Coach Drew is very humble. Very humble, okay? And I want to set context for you because a lot of people don't realize what he stepped into about 20 years ago. He didn't go into all the details here when I asked, but here's the context of the Baylor University basketball program back in 2003. So this was labeled to be the worst job in college sports, okay? Back in 2003, a Baylor basketball player actually murdered his teammate. He then pled guilty to murdering his teammate after they had gotten to some type of argument. And Steph, he was sentenced to 35 years in prison.
Mm.
Okay. So I can't imagine that happening. Well, the NCAA came in, they allowed the existing players on Baylor's team to transfer if they wanted to. They had some really good players. Players that left became All-Americans at other schools, got drafted in the NBA. And so it basically, it wiped out the roster. So Coach Scott Drew came in to a basketball program where a teammate had just murdered another teammate, which is just, again, it's mind-boggling.
It is.
So it was definitely a position that, for most coaches, they
wouldn't
want. They wouldn't want
no.
that at all because, one, you're going to have NCAA sanctions come down.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's going to be super hard to recruit any basketball players to your program. So it took Coach Drew 4 years to turn the program around. And then his fifth season, they had a winning season, made it to the NCAA tournament for the first time in 20 years. Okay, so it took him over 4 years to start to win again. But what he did was incredible.
To me, 4 years isn't that long for what he started with.
Right. Very true.
And the fact that in 20 years, Baylor didn't even make it to an NCAA tournament game, and he did it on his fifth year.
Right.
I think that's incredible, Kevin.
So here's a few things I didn't get to in this conversation. Okay. First off, this is labeled what Coach Drew has done, quote, the greatest rebuild in college basketball history.
Mm.
Okay. He's not going to admit that, but that's what I've read. So back in 2021, he led Baylor to its first national championship and their first Big 12 title in school history. Also, he's won multiple National Coach of the Year awards in basketball. So absolutely incredible what he's done. And Steph, we're now going to be Baylor basketball fans.
Oh my gosh, go Bears. I was ready to go down to Baylor, have my face painted.
Let's go to Waco,
you know,
and
like,
watch a game.
People are going to be cheering for specific players. I'm cheering for Coach Scott Drew. Like, that's what my sign is going to say. I'm all on board. Huge fan of his. Just love this man.
We love Coach Drew, and we were very excited to have this conversation. So, friends, hope you enjoyed this conversation with Coach Scott Drew.
All right, Steph, this is going to be so much fun.
Holy cow. Can you believe we're talking to this man?
This is great.
Like, Kevin, this is huge. I'm so excited.
Well, friends, our next guest in 2003 accepted the head basketball coaching position at Baylor, which was arguably, quote, the worst job in all of college sports. However, this man helped rebuild a program disgraced by scandal by instilling a culture of putting Jesus first. And in 2021, became a NCAA national championship winning coach with the Baylor Bears. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Tell Us a Good Story, Coach Scott Drew.
Scott Drew!
Hey, first and foremost, we have to have you come to the Foster Pavilion and come to as many games as possible, because with your guys' energy, we need that in the building, all right?
Coach, I'll have a sign. My face will be painted. I'm all over.
I was telling Steph on the way here, I'm like, Steph, we are going to be Baylor Bear fans after this.
Oh, 100%.
Hands down, after researching you, Coach, and seeing everything you've done. I mean, I've been fully aware of you, but everything you've done, Coach, incredible.
Well, it's God's done, but yeah, appreciate that.
So the first thing is, when you won a national championship 3 years ago, Coach, how did things change, right? Is it you get more media interviews? Is it you get more invitations to speak? Is it more influence? Like, how did your life change?
I get to be on with you guys.
Oh,
very nice.
But the platform is much bigger, and the opportunities to just share what God's done with our program has really grown. We've been able to recruit and bring in really talented young men that have been very successful here, but also professionally and their careers afterwards. And that's a blessing.
You win the national championship game. What is your life like that night?
That
Are
night.
You sleeping? Because I guarantee the night before you're not sleeping. So then the next night you're not sleeping. Like, are you exhausted? Are you on such an adrenaline high?
What's that
it
night
like?
Yeah.
Well, that is a great question. First of all, nights before games, really, I sleep well. It's the night after or the day, like you play at 7 p.m., trying to sleep that night. Either you won and you're so excited you can't sleep, or you lost and you're so mad you can't sleep. So the night after a game is the tough one. The night before, hay's in the barn, and I usually get a good night's sleep. We win the national championship, and we celebrate with some Giordano's pizza. So, like, to me, that was a great celebration. Obviously, after the locker room and then all the congratulatorial things, I go back to the hotel room because we're in the bubble. So in the bubble, I'm actually by myself. Now, I'm one of those guys, I got some ADD in me, and I'm looking, and like, whatever the max text number is, it's 750, 1,000, whatever it is, it's there. And I'm like, I can't go to bed. I got to get these answered. So,
oh my gosh,
you would sit there, and after you get about 100 done, the 100 gets filled up again. I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Oh, no.
So then you get close to being done. Well, you got an hour before Good Morning America. Well, you can't go to sleep for an hour, you know? So I was, what, 49, 50 at the time. I don't pull a lot of all-nighters at 49 or 50, but that was a fun all-nighter. Anyway, it was on Good Morning America, and then we loaded up the bus. And that was quite an adventure because you've been in a hotel now for like 3 weeks. So you got a lot of stuff. You're packing up.
Oh, right.
You get on the plane heading back to Waco, and that's when I was able to finally get an hour's sleep. You land, you got the people all there. I slept really well that night, but it was such a blessing. You know, selfishly, you love that. You're like, man, I wish I could get more, just one more time and opportunity like that to enjoy it. But then at the same time, you're like, you know, if other people win it, for them to have a chance to experience it, that's pretty cool too, you know? So that's the giving heart, you know?
Yes, I love that.
Steph, I forgot how he was in the bubble, right? Like, how hard would it be to coach with a mask on?
Yes.
Like, you're trying to yell, you're trying to give instructions, nobody can read your lips. Like, is that not impossible, Coach? Like, how hard was that?
Well, I think the players really enjoyed it because they thought I was just giving them a bunch of compliments all the time. And if they didn't know, like, the play call, they were like, I couldn't hear it, coach. I thought it was for me, you know? So anyway, we were the first school ever when we got here to only have a half season of basketball.
Yes.
We're the only school to date to win a national championship in a bubble. So we can write the book on two things that nobody else has ever gone through. That's really neat, really cool. What I'd like to do is compare it now with a packed stadium and no mask and no bubble. So the goal each and every year is to win it now, just so we can compare that.
So can you talk a little bit about this? Because I think at this point, coach, people forget what you walked into with the Baylor program. Like even that first season, every game, coach, you were underdogs by like 40 and 50 points. Can you share a little bit about what you walked into when you accepted the head coaching job there at Baylor?
Yeah, great, great question. So this in 2003, that's a long time ago. Most of the players we recruit now are born in 2006, 2008.
Right.
So the only thing they know, we've been really blessed in the last 5 years. We're the winningest Power Five program in the country. We're the only school in the last 4 years to be a top three NCAA seed. The only school to have four straight top 20 draft picks. So you got all this success. What people don't realize, when we first got here, we had between 5 and 8 scholarship players that first year because we had some academic things that we were working through. So at different times, we had different scholarship players. It was too late to recruit. So we're going throughout campus and we're trying to find anybody over 6'2 that can play. Oh. And it was a walk-on dream because not only could you be on the team, but you actually had a chance to play or start. So like it didn't get any better than that.
Wow.
So you're going into games and half your roster's walk-ons. You're playing against, at the time, Kansas and Texas that had half their teams full of McDonald's All-Americans, and we had half a team full of walk-ons. And you had mentioned 40, 50 point underdogs. I didn't know a lot about Vegas, but when you're projected to lose by 50,
right.
Coaching doesn't come into the equation. All right.
Can you tell Steph the story though of when you got to campus, you did a tryout.
And
people who came to the trial was not what you expected. Can you share that story with Steph? Because is very funny.
We spend the first literally 2 weeks like scouring the campus. Who is athletic? Who give us some height? And I remember one night late, I'm eating Fazoli's through the drive-through with one of our assistant coaches, Coach Driscoll. Across walks a guy 6'6", 6'7". And I'm like, hey, do you go to Baylor? Yes, I do. Where do you stay? He gave us the address. You want to play basketball? Yeah, I play basketball. So for the next 2 weeks, we try to find where he's at because we got to get him on the team. And he must have lied to us because he didn't exist. He wasn't from Baylor, wasn't on campus. Like, dang, that guy got away. But so we have a walk-on tryout. And all of a sudden, we get down to tryouts, and I'm like, Coach Driscoll, we got a lot of height and athleticism. Like, there's some good hoopers out here, right? So I'm excited. We call him over, and Coach Driscoll says, all right, tell us what year you are in school and where you live. And a hand goes up. Wait, Coach, you have to go to Baylor?
Oh, no! Baylor.
So we had players drive from Dallas. We had junior college players across the state come up. They thought they could just show up, make the team. So the good athletes leave the gym, and we're left with the 6-foot guys we've been seeing all along. Like, dang.
Everybody over 6 foot left the gym because they weren't students at Baylor.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it's like, we just wasted our time here. They didn't realize you have to be a student here on campus. That's what this is for.
I don't understand what they were thinking with Baylor basketball. Right.
I have no idea either, but I tell you what, for a couple minutes there, I thought we were going to find some people.
That is so funny.
All right, Steph, I'm going to test you again here. What is your favorite book of all time?
Obviously, it's the Bible, Kevin.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Very good. This time you didn't say the book we wrote called You Met Her Where.
But it's still a really good book.
That is true.
And it would make a great gift for friends or relatives on their birthday or for Christmas.
Friends, you can order your copy of our book titled You Met Her Where at kevinandsteph.com. And we will make sure to personally sign a copy for you or whoever you want.
And as always, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
All right, Coach, for all of our guests, I like to give a list of fun facts so listeners know what you've done, what you've accomplished. And Steph is not aware of any of these. Okay, so you're going to see her genuine reaction. Okay, and so this should lead to some stories. So feel free to share anything. Okay, and keep me honest if I'm wrong on any of these. All right,
let's go.
Fun fact number one about Coach Scott Drew. Now, this is only going to be meaningful to the three of us.
Okay.
However, Coach Drew's birthday is October 23rd.
Oh, Coach!
Which happens to be the same day as our wedding anniversary. So,
and it'll be your 20th year this year.
It'll be 20 years this year. So we will have to send him a birthday message
on October 23rd. Perfect. Which is very cool.
All right. Fun fact number two about Coach Drew. Coach Drew apparently likes to play matchmaker off the court. During our conversation, Coach, with our new friend Doug McNamee, he said that you set him up with his future wife, Lacey. So is this like a side hustle that you do? Right? Because I have tried to do this before and it has not gone well. Like, it did not work out at all. So there's a big risk involved. So how often do you do this, Coach? Because I was shocked when he told me you connected his wife to him.
Well, actually, there's a lot of times you've tried and hadn't worked out. That was one of the few that did. And such a blessing because they are such an awesome couple, great friends. They're still in Waco. The irony is we tried to set Lacey up before with somebody else. It didn't work. And she's like, you know, this guy's kind of cute. And who is Doug? Oh, we know Doug. Let's get that done. So I had a little cheat code to it. You know, the first blind date was a swing and a miss. But the second one, I listened well. And we helped get that done.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's very good. All right. Second fun fact about Coach.
Third
fun fact about Coach. He comes from a basketball family.
Yes.
That's what they do. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk about his family. His father, Homer, was inducted not once, but twice into the Valparaiso Hall of Fame, which I didn't know you could even do that.
I didn't know you could be inducted twice, Coach.
But somehow he was. Okay. After winning 640 games.
Wow.
As the head basketball coach. All right. Okay. His younger brother, Bryce, who's now the head coach at Grand Canyon, was known for hitting the buzzer beater shots back in 98, right? Which was just incredible. First off, where were you when that happened, Coach? Because that was huge news when he hit that buzzer beater.
So I had the best seat in the house. I was an assistant coach. So my dad's standing up. I'm sitting there watching it right there on the bench. And in your biggest moments, you always want to have family there to celebrate. Mm. And there's no better moment than that. And that was one of those nights I will never forget.
So then Bryce goes on to be a first round draft pick with the Houston Rockets. His sister, Dana, is in the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. Indiana.
Uh-huh.
This isn't like, you know, Idaho, right?
Yeah.
This is Indiana. All right. His brother-in-law is Casey Shaw, married to Dana.
Yeah.
Was drafted by the Philadelphia 76ers. Okay.
Holy cow.
Coach Drew here, however, went to Butler for college and did not play basketball.
So
the bar was too high.
I don't blame you, Coach.
How's this even possible? Do you go home for Thanksgiving and get shunned by your family? It's like, hey, how's basketball practice? Oh, no, we're going to talk to your Hall of Fame sister here about basketball. Like, how is that even possible, Coach, that you didn't play basketball in college?
So grew up obviously playing, and that's all we did. And once my brother and sister could beat me, I said, I'll never play again. So no,
I'm I was like, seriously?
Once his lost his sister, it was over?
Actually, I was really small. I was 5'1" my sophomore year. So
really?
I was a late grower, but God always has a plan. I was frustrated and upset, like, why aren't I taller? Because it would help to play basketball. But I did have a passion to coach, and he always gave me that passion. So I was actually able to coach my brother and sister's teams as they were growing up. So I kind of, a little different. A lot of people grew up and their goal is to be an NBA player. My goal was to be a coach, and I found passion in helping other people reach their goals and dreams. So anyway, that's that.
What is your end goal? Is it to stay at Baylor? Is it to be the Olympic team's head coach for basketball? Is it to be an NBA? Like, what is your goal when you were in high school or college?
Well, to be on this podcast, so now really everything else is gravy. But whatever God's will is, that's That's what I would want. And he called me to be here. And if he ever calls me to do something else or go somewhere else, I'll do that. Until then, I'm really blessed because all three of my children were born here. And I have so many past players and staff members that call this their home. And it's a great being at the largest Baptist school in the nation and one of the best academic schools in the nation, working with great people every day. It's not work. It's fun.
Well, that was the thing, Coach. Kevin and I, when we were talking about you, we did not realize Baylor was a Christian university.
I didn't know that.
We had no clue it was because we were wondering how you got brought such culture of Jesus Christ into your coaching until Kevin did the research and found out Baylor was a Christian school.
Yeah, so the largest Baptist school, and actually coming from Valparaiso, Valparaiso was the largest Lutheran school. So the great thing is we can pray with our guys and not get sued over it.
Okay, next fun fact. According to an article I read about Coach Drew on Yahoo Sports, Coach does not curse, rarely yells at players, and quotes the Bible often. However, he's extremely competitive. The first season at Baylor, he used multiple tactics to pump up his players, okay? He would even ask his staff members to pound on metal lockers and bang on trash cans like drums and cymbals.
Yes.
And then they would run out there with all these walk-ons just ready to go play. All right. So, Coach, what are some of the more fun, interesting tactics you've used to motivate some of your players?
Well, I mean, music is one of the, going back to biblical times, I mean, music has always inspired armies and everybody. So back in the day, you guys remember the boom boxes. So
we were one of the
first schools ever to have music at practice. So we would play music during practice. And for all the old school people, remember the jock jams?
Yes.
We used to always play the jock jams and try to get guys fired up. But since we didn't have a great budget when we first started, the metal trash can in the locker room, and Coach Tang had the best rhythm, so he was our drummer. And he would get everybody fired up. Jock James would be playing. We would go out, and then from there, we actually didn't finish in last place our first season. Won three conference games, and that group helped laid the foundation that we were able to build on for the future. So, but life is short. You want to have fun. You want to enjoy it, and we do that. I mean, we work really hard. If you're not competitive, you're not going to be successful. And 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know in a race all runners run, but only one wins a prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. So, I mean, we're going to compete to our fullest. We're going to give it all that we have, but we're going to do it in a fun way and enjoy life.
Okay, I have a question. Because that first year, you're just trying to get kids off of campus.
Right.
So do you have any good like recruiting stories after that first year, like, well, we've won like three conference games, come to Baylor. Like, how did you get guys to
sign up for this?
Yes. Believe in the culture you were trying to start at Baylor.
Well, one thing we did have is we could offer a lot of playing time and a lot of opportunities to get shots.
That's true.
That's true.
And then, you know, some people love a challenge. They love to be in a position or opportunity where they can lay the foundation and they can have an opportunity to build something. And probably our first time with the state of Texas, Henry Dugott was a highly recruited player and narrowed down to us in Texas. And he came from the Houston area. Curtis Gerald came from the Austin area. And then Kevin Rogers came from the Metroplex. And that was the first time really people across the state, like, those are really good players. They're all going to Baylor. So something's happening there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So speaking of your players, Steph, Coach Drew has coached 14 players to All-Americans in the past 16 years. Baylor had two kids drafted in the first round of the NBA draft this past season. And they are one of only two college programs in the country to have, over the past 4 years, someone selected in the top 20 of the NBA draft every year.
Oh, wow.
Actually, we're the only one. So
are you the only one?
Yeah,
okay.
We are the only one.
I thought the other one was Duke. Yeah. I stand corrected. So, Coach, what is it like to go to an NBA draft?
Yes. Are you there?
You're there probably with the kids that you have met since high school and their families, and they're going from being in their living room to now they're going to be a millionaire as soon as they sign that contract. What is that like attending a draft with those kids?
Well, why you coach is to see people reach their goals and dreams. And part of that in the culmination for a lot of them is playing professionally. And obviously the NBA is the goal for everybody. So with that, you go and nothing but excitement. They're dressed up. They got the family members there. Now, it is a little more nervous than you guys might think, because you never really know for sure where someone's going to get drafted, because
right.
A lot of times you might have a team that you think they're going to go to, but a trade happens and maybe they bring in a star free agent. Now, all of a sudden, they don't need a guard or they don't need a center because they just traded for an NBA all-star at that position, or somebody that they thought would be drafted at number 5 is there at number 15. So there's a lot of fluidity and things change. So really, I'm there, and in a lot of times I'm talking to different NBA personnel, and it's crazy because you'd be like, really, that happens? Yeah, like you talk to people and you're trying to help them across the finish line. And then when they finally get selected, you know, they get a call right before the selection, so you get a heads up. But that is an awesome, awesome feeling, seeing them go up to the stage and put on the hat. And then that night, usually there's a meal or something, and that's a lot more relaxed and a little easier to celebrate because there's no anxiousness about that. But as a coach, winning a conference championship, winning a national championship, that is really good. And you put a player being drafted right there with that.
If you like what you hear, please tell someone about us. As soon as this episode is over, go tell your spouse, your closest friend, a parent, a coworker, or share one of our posts on social media.
However, if you don't like what you're hearing, please do not.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody.
Just disregard this message.
Don't worry about
it. Forget about us.
Yep.
Go on with your merry day.
And to get more information about us or our entire catalog of episodes, be sure to check us out at kevinandsteph.com. Thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
Final fun fact about Coach Drew. Amongst his many titles, of course, he's a basketball coach and a matchmaker.
Yes.
Coach is also an author. Okay. So 2 years ago, he wrote the book titled The Road to Joy. Mm-hmm. So, Coach, can you explain the team's culture of joy that you've taught in the basketball program? Because this is a phenomenal approach in regards to teaching your kids.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, coach is always the smart take from the strong. That's a book by Pete Carril. And anytime you find a good idea, you implement it. And I thought the way culture, joy, J, Jesus, O, others, Y, yourself. If you keep that I am third mentality, who doesn't want to play on a team where the teammates value their teammates more than themselves, rather than being on a team where you got, that guy's so selfish, takes all the shots, or it's all about him. That's really easy to be a part of a team like that. And at the end of the day, if you're right with God, it's easy to put others ahead of yourself. So Tony Dungy, Dabo Sweeney, other coaches have implemented it. We just followed suit as an easier way, rather than saying I am third. It's easier to have a culture of joy because you want guys to be joyful in everything they do and play with a smile and inspire people. And again, you come to one of our practices, music's playing, it's upbeat, guys are really competing hard, but they're doing it in a way that it's not personal, not demeaning, it's uplifting and fun. And hopefully we're competitive. We want to bring the best out in our players because that's why they're here. But at the same time, again, you want to enjoy what you do and not be like, oh, I got to go to work. You know, like you two on this podcast, it's easy to see the chemistry. You guys love one another. So I'm sure you're excited anytime you have an opportunity to do this. By the way, October 23rd is my birthday. My anniversary is September 23rd. That way I'll never forget it. You know,
oh, so very nice. That was good. That was smart, coach. That was very smart.
But every school has their niche. Baylor's a small family type environment. It's a R1 research institute. You got a great faculty, a campus ministry. There's like 26 different campus ministries you can be a part of. So we want to bring in people that embrace that family value that we have here at Baylor University and put that on display and platform for the world.
You know what, Kevin? I want to go to Baylor.
I know.
Like, let's seriously, coach, like, yes. I would want you to be my coach. Just how much you can tell love for Christ, your love for people and your student athletes. Like, you're an amazing man, coach.
Well, listeners, for more information about Coach Drew, you can go to Twitter at BU Drew Instagram at BaylorMBB, and the website, BaylorBears.com. And we'll put links in our show notes and on our website so you can click on that and go right to those websites. Well, Coach, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You exceeded our expectations here. We were looking forward to this, but oh my gosh, you're fantastic. Thank you for saying yes to us.
Thanks, Coach.
And if you ever want to come down to a game, you are more than welcome. All right. We'd love to.
Yes, we will.
We would love to.
My face will be painted, Coach. I'll have a sign. I got you.
You'll hear.
Yes, you will.
Appreciate you guys. You have a blessed day. Love your energy.
Friends, thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Us a Good Story.
For additional content and longer episodes, you can go to our website at kevinandsteph.com or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
And don't forget, you can catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. right here on the AM/FM 24/7 network. Thank you for listening to
Tell Us a Good Story.